Okay, welcome back everyone to our DAF a week class. Ah, hello Mayor, welcome to you. We're just getting started. We are doing DAF Chaf Beis today, but we are still on Chaf Aleph Amud Beis 21b, and we're really, to say we're doing Chaf Beis is a bit of an over-exaggeration, because we're pretty high up on Chaf Aleph Amud Beis. We're on the sixth line, I believe it is, on Chaf Aleph Amud Beis. We're in the, towards the end of the line where it says Amar Le'er of Nachman. So if you remember, last time we spoke, last time we had our shiur, we finished off the where we were up to by learning about two individuals, Rav Nachman bar Rav Chista. The Rav Nachman bar Rav Chista decided to establish a fast, and Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak questioned him, where is he getting this from? Who did he decide to establish a fast for a situation where it seemed to go against how our Mishnah paskened in terms of deciding how do we define what a dever is, what a plague is, right? We said that if in a town of, I think it was 500 Abba man and whatever the number was, you have a town like that, so you need three people to die in three consecutive days, one in each day. And we said that if it happens that three people die in one day, or three people die in 2 days, or more people or less people in theory die consecutively like that, then it's not considered a plague. It's specifically, this is the formula that will do it for us. Now, what happens if you have six people that die consecutively, 2, 2, 2? Okay, that's a good question, not for right now. But the point is that Rav Nachman bar Rav Chista seemed to go against the frame. He said when you have three people die in one day, then even that will cause us to be concerned that it's a plague. So he established a fast. Now what the Gemara is going to do over here, it's going to tell an interesting story about how Rav Nachman bar Rav Chista had a tremendous amount of respect for Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak, and we'll see exactly or it might be the other way around, we'll have to see. The Gemara will start off with a story, and then we're going to go into a whole slew of stories which go through this idea of different people who were respected and who were very special individuals. So let's see what the Gemara has to say, including, by the way, there's several Gemaras here that we've been doing over the past few weeks that seem to feel specifically related to the time that we're in, speaking about plagues and things like that. But we'll see particular, we have a Gemara about the frontline workers, we have a Gemara about doctors today, one of the most famous Gemaras about doctors out there that is certainly not one to miss. So let's get started without further ado. Rav Nachman bar Rav Chista said to Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak, Leikum mar leisei legaban. He says, get up, master, and come live with us, meaning come move to our town. Amar le tanina. He says, what do you mean? I said to him, I've learned a braisa. Rabbi Yossi omer lo makomo shel adam mechabdo. It's not the place that honors the man, el adam mechabi des mekoma, rather the man honors the place. Meaning, he says, if I'm going to move to a new town, it's very nice that you want me to be in your town, I guess it'll be more it'll honor me more. But the point that he's trying to say is back to him, no, it doesn't make a difference where you live. You honor the place that you live in, you shouldn't worry about the place honoring you. That's not how it works in the world. Shekin matzina b'har Sinai, that we have the same concept when it comes to Har Sinai, that the place doesn't honor anyone, rather something else will honor the place. That as long as the Shechina, the presence of God, was resting on the mountain of Har Sinai, the Torah said, "Gam hatzon v'habakar al yiru el mul haharahu." Also the sheep and the cattle, they should not graze next to the mountain. Oh, okay, fine. So you see from here that clearly, when the Shechina was on the mountain, then the mountain was a very special place. Nistalka Shechina mimena. But once the Shechina, once God's presence was removed from the mountain, Amrat Torah, the Torah says, B'mashuch hayovel hima yalu bahar, that when the blast of the shofar extends, that they can go up onto the mountain. In other words, what that means is once the Shechina is removed from the mountain, they can go up. The mountain no longer has any kedusha anymore. What we see from here is that the Shechina made the mountain holy, and the mountain was in itself intrinsically holy. And so basically this proves the concept again, that either, well, over here we're talking about God, but a person can honor a place, can make a place better, but a place cannot make someone else better. And we also find this to be the case when it comes to the Mishkan in the desert. The Ohel Moed is the Mishkan. Shekol's man shehu natoy, that as long as the Ohel Moed, so literally the tent, the meeting, right? So whenever this tent, this Mishkan was pitched, whenever the Mishkan was up and running, Amrat Torah, the Torah says, v'yishalchu min ha-machaneh kol tzarua, that anyone who had tzara'as had to leave the machaneh, had to leave the camp. They cannot be anywhere near the Mishkan. Huglalu ha-paroches, but, says the Gemara, once the curtain surrounding, literally means Huglalu HaBaruch is like the curtain got rolled up. So once the curtain surrounding the Oh HaMoed was rolled up, aka once the Mishkan was picked up, once it was taken apart, Hutro Zavin v'hamitzorayim likanesham, then these individuals, those who were Zavim and those who were Mitzorayim, they can all enter into, it's a little unclear, enter into what, either enter into the camp or maybe even enter into the space where the Mishkan was standing. But the point is that the Gemara is making is that the Mishkan, the place where the Mishkan was in itself intrinsically holy, it was just the fact that the Mishkan was there that made it holy over here. So again, we had people honor the place, then we had God honors the place, and now we're having that a holy structure honors the place. But again, the place never honors something else. So Amar Lei, so that's why these tummy people are able to walk in the place of the Mishkan or into the camp that where the Mishkan was, because of the fact that it's no longer has the holiness because the Mishkan was taken apart, showing that the place itself is not intrinsically holy. It's that the thing makes the place holy. Amar Lei, so he said back to him, so now again, so we're in the middle of a conversation over here. Rav Nachman bar Rav Chista said to Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak to come move over here. And Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak says, no, I can't do that, because help me to move to you. I it doesn't make a difference how holy your place is. I need to honor my place, so your place cannot honor me. So now Rav Nachman bar Rav Chista says back to Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak, it's a little complicated, they have similar names, but he says back to him, Ihachi, if this is so, Nekum ana legabe mar. He says, okay, you know what? I'm going to come live next to Master. Amrlei says back to him, Mutav yavo mana ben pras, eitzel mana ben mana. He says, better for so let's just get the terms here. A mana means like 100 dinarim, and a pras means half of that. So yep, a mana is 100 dinarim, and a pras is like 50 dinarim. So he says, it's better for the $100 person who is the son of the $50 person, eitzel mana ben mana, to move to the person who is 100, the son of 100. What in the world are we talking about over here? So if you look at the names very quickly, so it's Rav Nachman bar Rav Chista. So Rav Nachman was the son of a rabbi, but Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak, and Rav Nachman was not the son of a Yitzchak, Rav Nachman was not the son of a rabbi, he was the son of a man named Yitzchak. So you see over here that Rav Nachman bar Rav Chista was $100, ben the son of $100, because he was a very holy person, his father as well. And Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak, Rav Nachman is a $100 person, but his father is only a $50 person. So what he's saying back to him is that, no, it's better for a $100 person, the son of a $50 person, to move next to $100, the son of $100. But al yavo mana ben mana, and you shouldn't have $100, the son of a $100 person, itzel mana ben pras, move next to someone who is $100, the son of a $50 person. So he says, no, don't come move to me. Okay, that was that story. Besura havas Davarta. So in the town of Sura, there was a terrible plague. B'shiva woseha derav lo havas Davarta. What do you have to know about Sura? You have to know about Sura that Rav lived there. But what do you know? In the neighborhood of Rav, which is unclear exactly how big that neighborhood was, but in his neighborhood, there was no plague. So isn't that unbelievable? In the city that he was living in, there was a terrible plague, but in the 10-block radius, whatever it is that he lived in, there was no plague whatsoever. Savrumine, so they said, oh, must be mishum zuchute derav dinafesh. Must be because of the great merit of Rav that we were saved, that we were spared. This area was spared because the whole city was plagued except for our area. It must be that Rav saved us all. It's chazilehu bechelma, but it appears to them in a dream. Rav de nafisha zechute tuva, that Rav's zechus is like too good for this. Meaning like this, it's like hard to understand exactly what this is saying over here and how to really understand these terms, but Rav's zechus was like really high up and this plague was, you know, like pretty low down. And And to get out of this plague, you didn't need such a great zchus like Rav. You just needed some other person who had a pretty good zchus to get you out of it. So says the Gemara that it came to them in a dream that it was not the zchus of Rav that saved them, because they don't need someone with the zchus of Rav to save them from this. Hamilsa zutrali the Rav. This is like a minor matter for Rav. This is like a nothing. Like, oh my gosh, Rav is like 100 points, and so they need a 50-point zchus. So this is not such a big deal. They don't need his zchus. Elam yishum ha'hu gavr. Rather, why were they saved? Not because of Rav's zchus. They didn't need such a great zchus. Just because of another individual who was evidently great, but not as great as Rav, but he was great enough to save them from this plague. Deshayel, what did he do? Shail Mara Vizvila the Kavura. Oh my gosh, unbelievable. He would regularly lend out like a gardening tools, like a hoe and a shovel for burials, because he would allow people to bury their mason who couldn't necessarily afford tools, so he would lend out these tools. And so what a great person that was. So he had a special zuchus, and in his special zuchus, which again evidently was not as great as Rav's, but in his special zuchus, that's why they were saved from a plague. We'll have a few more stories similar to this. Bidurokaras Havas Delik. Mikta. So in this town of Drokaros, there was a fire. Uveshiva Voseha, the Rav Huna lo havas delikta. But what do you know? Rav Huna, who lived in this town, in his neighborhood of that town, there was no fire. Savar Mina, they held, must be Zechuta, the Rav Huna dinafesh. They must have been saved in the honor and the zechus and the merit of Rav Huna. It's Chaze, Lehu Bechama, but again, they appear to them in a dream. Hai Zutra Le, Le Rav Huna. They said, this is too small for Rav Huna. Rav Huna you don't need Rav Huna's zuchus to get you out of this one. Ella mishum hahi isasa. It must be, no, there's actually someone else in the town who, again, Rav Huna's 100, and this other person, a woman, was a 50, and this 50 was enough to get you out of this fire. So who was this woman? Demichamemes tanura umishaile leshiva waseha. What did she used to do? Unbelievable! Also, an incredible person. She used to heat up her oven and make it available to the rest of the people in the neighborhood to use. In other words, let's say you didn't have an oven or something like that to cook your food, she would let other people come to her house and cook their food in her house. And what a special merit that was, that she did that for people. So therefore, they were saved. Her area was saved from the fire because of her. Okay, another story. Amr leir the Rav Yehuda. They said to Rav Yehuda, Asu Kamse. They said, you know what happened? Locusts have come to our town. Gazar Tanis, and as a result, he decreed that a fast should be done, right? Because that's what he said in the Mishnah. Whenever locusts come, they are so detrimental. So he said, okay, let's have a fast. Amr leir, they said back to him, Lo kam efsad. And he says, no. They said back to him, no. It's true, locusts have come, but they're not destroying anything, so we don't really need to have a fast. Amar Luis back to them, Zuda Aisu Bahadayu. He says back to them sarcastically, what, have they brought the picnics with them? Have they brought their own picnic baskets that they're going to decide to eat other food? They don't need the food of our town? No, even if they haven't destroyed anything yet, who knows what they're waiting for? Who knows how locusts work, what they're thinking about? But eventually they're going to come to eat our food. So since they have not brought their own picnic baskets, he could be sure of that. So therefore, they're probably going to come to destroy our crops, and therefore that's our fasting right now. So hopefully they never come to destroy our crops. Amru Leila Rav Yehuda. They said to Rav Yehuda, Ika Musna Bechazire. Unbelievable. A deadly plague has come up. So this seems to be another story. A deadly plague has come upon the pigs in the area. Gazar Tanisa. And then, wow, this is interesting. He decided to decree a fast because pigs were dying, evidently. Nema, so why, who cares about the pigs? Nema Kasev Rav Yehuda, says the Gemara, maybe Rav Yehuda held Maka Meshulechas, Mimen Echad Meshulechas Mikol Haminen. Maybe he says that one plague will sort of like be indicative one plague will travel to other animals. So if you have pigs that have a sickness, so that it will travel to other animals, it'll make them sick. So even though the animals that are relevant to the Jewish people are not being stricken right now, the cows and the sheep and whatever, eventually they will too come to be stricken with this plague. So therefore, since the pigs have it, you don't care if the pigs die, but you know that if the pigs have it, they're going to spread it to the other animals, and that's not going to be good. And therefore, that's maybe what Rav Yehuda held, and that's why he decreed a fast when the pigs were dying. Lo, says Ingmar, no, that's not true. Shani Chaziri, it's actually different when it comes to pigs. Why? How are pigs different? The Demayana Me'aihu Libnei Inshe. Wow. Their digestive tracts are similar to that of human beings. Evidently, there is one, or maybe a few, who knows, but one specific thing that the pig digestive system has in common with the human digestive system. And since this ailment was attacking the digestive system of pigs, it must be that there was a concern that it was going to be transferred from the pigs to the human beings, and that would not be good. And therefore, that's why they decreed the fast, because it hit a little too close to home that maybe it would come to affect the people. Wow. Okay. Amru le Shmuel Ika Musna Bechozai. They said to Shmuel that a deadly plague has come to the town of Bechazai. Gazar Tanisa, so okay, he decreed a fast on this terrible plague that had come to town. Amar Leva HaMerchak, they said to him, whoa, okay, this plague is in Bechazai. We are, who knows where we are, we're far away from this. Amar, he says back to him, Leka Ma'avra Hacha Depasikle. He says, there's not a river that stops between us, our town, and Bechazai, and as a result, we have to be concerned that this plague is going to travel all the way to us, because the distance doesn't make a difference, because it can so easily get here because there's nothing to stop it. Amar le Rav Nachman, they said to Rav Nachman, Ika Mosna Ba'arad Yisrael, they said there is a deadly plague in the land of Israel. Okay, Gazar Tanisa, he decided to decree a fast. Amar im Gevira Lokesh Shivchalo Kol Shekin, and he said as follows, if the Gevira, meaning like the mistress, like the head of the household, if she is going to be stricken, so obviously won't the maid servant also be stricken? What are we talking about over here? So Rav Nachman lived in Bavel. So Bavel is secondary, obviously, to Eretz Yisrael. So he said if Eretz Yisrael is going to be stricken, for sure the Chutz La'aretz areas are also going to be stricken. So if Israel is stricken, then we have to fast because it must mean that punishment is coming for us as well. Taima de Gevira v'shivcha, ha-shivcha v'shivcha lo. So we see from here what? So his reasoning is that the Gevira, that the head of the household, that she is stricken. So obviously that means that the Shivcha will be stricken as well, that the maidservant will be stricken as well. But what? So he doesn't hold that if the maidservant is stricken in one area, that we should then could be concerned about the other maidservants. But ha'am relay the Shmuel, they said to Shmuel, Ika Mosna, that there is a deadly plague, Bechozai Gazar Tanisa. Shmuel said there was another town, so you had one town in Chutz La'aretz that was being attacked, and Shmuel said we should also be concerned in our town in Chutz La'aretz. So you see that it's from a maidservant to a maidservant, you'd be concerned even if there is a far distance. Says the Gemara, Shani Hasam Kivan Deika Shayarta Delavi VeAsia BeHedya. So says the Gemara, because there are caravans between the towns of where the plague was in the times of Shmuel. Because there are caravans that go between Bechozai and this town of Shmuel, the plague can kind of easily go with those people on the caravan and travel along with them. So as a result of that, that's why Shmuel decided to decree the fast. So in other words, Shmuel agrees that really if something's far away, you don't decree a fast on that. But here, the reason why he decreed a fast was because people in caravans could come bring the fast to them. And as a result, that's why we need to decree a fast to make sure it doesn't come to us. But in general, if it's far away, you don't decree a fast unless it's somewhere like holy, like if Israel has something terrible, so we have to decree a fast on ourselves as well. Okay, now we have the big doctor Gemara. Abba Umna Hava Asei Le Shalma Mimesifta Derekia Kol Yoma. You had an individual by the name of Abba Umna. Who in the world is Abba Umna? My Rebbe Rav Willig Shlita would always used to, I once heard him quote this Gemara. He says, you know, you have these people who we're going to see. We have Abba Umna, we have Abaye, and we have Rava. He says, everyone knows who Abaye is. Everyone knows who Rava is. Who in the world has ever heard of Abba Umna? No one knows who Abba Umna is. Who is Abba Umna? So let's see what the Gemara says. Abba Umna, which means like Abba, he was a doctor. Umna, he's like a surgeon of sorts. So Abba, the surgeon, he would receive greetings from the heavenly yeshiva every single day. They'd come to say hello. The malachim would come to say hello to him. So if this individual who no one ever heard of, Abba Umna, was getting greetings from malachim every single day, must mean Abaye and Rav are going to get something great. Says the Gemara, no. Abaye kol male yoma deshavta. Abaye got visited once a week. Every single Friday they came to wish him a good Shabbos from the heavens. Rava, okay, so fine. So what is Rava going to get now? Now we're a little nervous. Kol male yoma dekipure. Every single Yom Kippur evening, every single kol nidre night, they would come to him and say, he should have Shana Tova and Mituka. You should have a good and happy and healthy year. So unbelievable, says the Gemara. Hava ka chalsha daite da Abaye mishum da Abba Umna. So the Gemara says Abaye was so pained by the fact that this random guy, Abba Umna, was getting such incredible greetings from Malachim, and he, Abaye, now Abaye was not a Balgaiva, but he knew who he was, he knew that he was Abaye, and Abaye said, Hakam Abba Umna, what made him so great that he gets these things, and what have I done wrong that I don't get these same greetings? Amrulay, they said to him, Lo matzita lameyava ka'ovde, they said that that you would cannot be doing the work that he does. Whoa, what is this? Umay havu uvde da Abba Umna. What kind of work did Abba Umna do? Dechi hava avid milsa, because when he would do a certain procedure, when he would let blood from people, right? That was the way they used to heal people back in the day. When he would do bloodletting, hava maches gabre luchud v'nashe luchud. He would make sure that the men were separate and the women were separate. So he avoided all commingling of men and women that he possibly could, because he placed them in different operation rooms. Ve'islei levusha de'izbei Karna, okay, a little scary. The Karna could be right like Corona. Okay, Vesle Levusha Dispe Karna. He had a special garment which had some sort of a special, a some sort of a tube to kind of collect the blood from people. The havas bzia ki kusilta. That what did this do? That the garment was basically slit just enough to accommodate the area where they used to make the incision in the vein. So basically, what would happen? Ki havas asya le isosa, when a woman would come in, have a malbish la ki hichi delo nistakilba. He'd put the special garment on her, and he wouldn't look at her in the slightest. He would have a little hole in the garment, he would make a slice, he would let the blood, and he wouldn't be able to see any of her nakedness. The islay duchta the snea, and so it basically would be a place of absolute modesty. The shadi be pshite the shakil, in which and one further matter, v'islay duchta disnia, that it was a place of absolute modesty. How so? Because the shadi be pshite de shakil, because it was a place where people would pay the islay shadi be. If they had the money to pay, then they would pay. The leislay lo michsaf, but if they didn't have the money, they wouldn't they wouldn't be embarrassed and they wouldn't pay. Ki hava atar melei tsorba merabanan. Okay, so fine. So number one, he was very tsanua with women. Number two, you only paid if you had the money to pay. If you didn't have the money to pay, you didn't have to pay. You would not become embarrassed. How so? Well, so basically he had like a waiting room, and then he had the operation room. So you had to pay in the waiting room. And when you would go in, so no one would see if you paid or didn't pay, because you basically would slip some of the money in the waiting room or not. So if you had the money, you put it in the waiting room. If you didn't have money, you wouldn't put it in. No one would question you, so no one would be embarrassed by this. Okay, that was two. Three, the third thing he would do, ki hava atar melei tsorba merabanan, when he would have one of the young rabbis come to be one of his patients, igra minei lo shakil. He wouldn't accept any money from them. He would say, oh, they're great rabbis, or they're young, budding talmidei chachamim, I'm not going to take any money from them. Ubatar dekai, when he would leave, yahiv le pshite, they gave them coins, va'amar le zil bar yanafshach, and he would say, go and restore your health. In other words, they came to his office to get bloodlet from them, and that bloodletting would hopefully make them better. That's how they believed the science used to work back in the day. But obviously, as we know, and they knew then, when you get some blood taken from you, that's also gonna make you weak. So they said, here, okay, not only do you not have to pay us, but he would give them coins, so that they can go out and buy themselves a nice deli sandwich to make themselves feel a little bit better and get fully healthy. Yom achad shadar Abaye zuga derabanan lemivdeke. So Abaye was so bothered by this guy, Abba Umna. No way he's as great as they seem. So he sent a pair of young rabbis to go check him out. And what happened? Os vinhu of achilnu of ashkinhu. He set them down, he gave them food, he gave them drink. Umachlhu bistarki bilelia. And he folded up woolen rugs for them to sleep on at night. Okay, now we're on the top of Chaf Beis Amud Aleph. So he folded up nice wooden rugs for them. Litzafra krachinhu b'shachlinu. Unbelievable. In the morning, they folded them up and they took them from Abba Umna. V'kamu v'nafkuluhu l'shuka. Then they went and took them to the shuk, to the marketplace. V'ashkachinhu, and they found Abba Umna there. This is awkward. So they stole his rugs and they found him there. Amarlei, Amrulei, they said to him, L'shaymei mar hichi shabu. They said to him, hey, you know, sir, we were your patients yesterday. How much are these worth? You know, how much would you buy these for? Amrulei hachi v'hachi. He said to them, I would buy them for this and this. That's how much I would buy. Amrulei, they said back to Medilma shabu tfei. They said, maybe they're worth more. Amarlehem b'hachi shaklinu. He says back to them, no. Actually, when I bought rugs that look just like this, I paid this amount, so that's how much I think they're worth. And so at this point, they realize, oh my gosh, this man is such a holy individual. He's not like trying to take the rugs back from us. He just totally wanted to treat the rabbis well, and that's it. Amrulei, they said to him, Didach nihu v'shaklinu minach. They said that these are your rugs, and they gave them back to him. Amrulei, they said to him, b'mitusa minach b'may chashtasinan. They said that, please tell us, like, what did you think of us when you saw that we had taken your rugs? So that means that he checked the room in the morning and he saw the rugs were gone, or he realized that once they got the rugs back, he realized that they had taken the rugs. They said, what did you think of us when you realized that we took your rugs? Amrulei, amina pidyon shvuyim ikla luhu rabban. He said, He said to them that, you know what I thought? I thought there was a case of redeeming captives that came before the rabbis. And they were too embarrassed to come to ask me for money, because, okay, Abu Umna was not just a doctor, but he was a wealthy doctor, and he would have had the money to redeem them. And he said the rabbis were just too embarrassed. They didn't want to ask me. So as a result, he said, it must be that they stole my rugs, which were expensive rugs, to be able to redeem the captives. Amrule, they said to him, Hashtun Nishkalinhu Mar. So they said to him, Master, Amrulhu Miahu Shata Ashasinhu Midatai Litzdaka. So basically they said to him, now, Master, please take the rugs back. But he says back to them, no, Mihahu Shata Ashasinhu Midatai Litzdaka. I had already committed in my mind that I wanted to give these rugs for tzedakah, and so therefore I basically removed them entirely from my mind, and I assigned them to be a tzedakah. So don't give them back to me. Hava kachalsh. Okay, fine. So that's the end of that story. All right. So Abba Umna was visited every day. Abaye was visited once a week, and Rava was visited once a year. And then Abaye said, "There's no way this guy is so great." And what do you know? They tested him, and he was even better than he sounded. He was really, really a huge tzaddik. But then the Gemara continues. You know, Rava felt really bad. Why? Because of Abaye. Because he saw that Abaye was getting all once a week. Forget about Abba Umna. That's way out of his league, evidently. But once a week, you think Rava and Abaye. We always paskin like Rava, right? So Rava is the best. So how could it be that Rava gets once a year and Abaye gets once a week? Amrule, they said to him, no, you want to know why? Mistayich tika miginas akula kracha, because it should be enough for you that you are that you protect the whole city with your merits. In other words, what do they say to him? Who knows why it is exactly you are great, that Abaye is great. We know that Abaye gets visited once a week, you get visited once a year. You should just be satisfied with the fact that in your merit, that's what keeps the whole city safe in general. You don't need any more than that. Okay, so that's evidently made him quiet, that made him feel a little bit better. That's now the full end of that story. Okay, now we'll have several more stories that Gemara's going to go through. Rabbi Baroka, Chuza, Hava Shchiach, Beshuka, Develafat. So Rabbi Baroka Choza would commonly come to the marketplace in Beilafat. Have a shchiach Eliyahu Gabe, and Eliyahu would commonly, I guess, come with him or go with him or be there with him. Amarle, so he said to Eliyahu, Ika Bahai Shuka Bar Alma Dasi. He says, is there anyone here that's worthy of the world to come in this marketplace? Like, how often, you know, what would you ask Eliyahu Hanavi if you had him next to you? So what do you know? Eliyahu Hanavi was there with him. So he said, okay, you know, do you know anyone here that's like really like a great person that are going to go to Olam Haba? Amar Lei, Lo. No, not a single soul in this person. Not a single soul in this marketplace that's worthy of Olam Haba. Adahachi v'hachi. Okay, so then this thing happened and that thing happened. Like in the meantime, some time passed. Chazalehu gavra dehava siim msane uchme. So he saw a man wearing black shoes. Velo rame chuta de techilta beglime, and he didn't have any tzitzis in the corners of his garment. So in other words, this is a very unusual man. Why? Because number one, he didn't have tzitzis, so if he was Jewish, he would seemingly have tzitzis. And number two, he was wearing black shoes. They say black shoes. Who wears black shoes? Well, everyone knows rabbis wear black shoes. So evidently, Rashi explains, no, that's not the case in the times of the Gemara. Jews would not usually wear black shoes. So he had an individual wearing black shoes, and he was wearing he didn't have tzitzis on the corners of his garments. Must mean, I guess, he wasn't Jewish. Okay, so this individual, though, what happened? Amar Lei Eliyahu said, Rabbi Baroka, Hi Bar Alma Da Asihu. This guy, he is the Ben Olam Haba. Whoa, what? Rahat Basre. So Rabbi Baroka ran after this individual. Amar Lei, he says to him, My Udach, says, what do you do? Like, what do you do for a living? What do you do in general that you're such a good person or whatever? Amar Lei, Zil Ha'inna Vital Lamacher. He says, go today and come tomorrow. What in the world? Fine. So what happened? Lamachar. So the next day, Amar Lei Ma'udach. He sees him again. He says, "So no, what do you do?" So we'll get back to how weird of a response that was. But he says, "So what do you do the next day?" Amar Lei Zanduka Ana. He says, "I am a jail guard." A jail guard, says the Gemara. V'asarna gavrei l'chud v'nashi l'chud. Oh, what do you do? What does he do? Is that so special? Much like Abba Umna, he places the male prisoners in one area and the female prisoners in another area. V'ramina Pur Ya'i Bein Hani Lahani, and I place my bed between them, meaning they're not going to have any intermingling whatsoever, because I, the jail guard, am between them. Ki Heched Yelo Leisu Lidei Asura, because I don't want them to violate any prohibitions whatsoever. Ki Chazina Bas Yisrael Diyahavi Nachrem Allah Einayhu, and when I see a Jewish girl who knows how she ended up in prison, but she ended up in prison, and I see prison guards, the non-Jewish prison guards, that they point their eyes towards her. They see, oh, she's a good-looking one. We want to get to her. Masarna nafshayu matzilnala. I give my soul, right? He's Moser Nefesh. He basically risks his life to save her. Yom achad havas na'ara me'orasa gavan. He said, one day we had a betrothed girl with us. And when I saw that there were non-Jewish guards that had, taken a liking to her. Shakle Dardaya de Chamra. What did he do? He said, I took the lees of red wine, v'shadai la b'shifula, and I tossed them on the lower part of her skirt. V'amre distanahi, and they said, ugh, she's menstruating. Right, so back in that, maybe nowadays, that doesn't necessarily stop people from violating any sort of prohibitions, but back in the day, for sure, they had a real sensitivity to people who were menstruating, and they saw she had this beautiful, let's say it was a white skirt, whatever, and she got blood all over it, so it must mean she was going through her menstrual cycle, and that made her disgusting then in the eyes of the guards, and then that basically took their eyes off of her. Amar Alei, he says to him, my time alis l'chachuti, so now back to the real world, so this guy is having this conversation with his Rabbi Baroka, he says, why aren't you wearing any tzitzis? How come you don't wear tzitzis? V'ramisa misane uchme, and why in the world are you wearing black shoes? In other words, he's saying, clearly you are Jew, so why don't you wear tzitzis, and why are you wearing black shoes, which is not the way of Jews to dress? Amar Alei, ayilna v'nefikna b'ini nachram, he says, because I have to mingle with the non-Jews. Kihichid lo ledu Yehuda, and they don't know that I'm Jewish. Kihavu gazri gazirta, and that's how it needs to be. Because when they make a gazira, when they make some sort of decree that evidently would negatively impact the Jews, modana lihu rabbanan, and I tell the rabbis, ubao rachme, and then as a result of me telling the rabbis, they daven for mercy, mevat le gazir tayu, and they the decree is annulled because of him being able to report this to the rabbis so that they can daven, and then God annuls their decrees. My time aki amina lecha ana my ubdach v'marta li zil ha'ina v'talam acher. So then he asked him the question that we were all wondering from the beginning: how come at the beginning when I came to you yesterday, you said, you know, what did you say? You said go away today and come back tomorrow. So Amar Lei says back to him, he shata gazre gazirte, because he said exactly at that time that you came, they had just made a decree against the Jewish people. V'amina bereisha izil, and I was going v'ashma lehul rabban, I was going to tell the rabbis right now what I had just heard. So the bay rachme Allah demilso, so they should ask for mercy about what I just heard. Adahachi v'hachi. Right. So in other words, he didn't have a minute to spare because he needed to make sure he made it to the rabbis ASAP, because when he would be able to make it to the rabbis ASAP, the kadavin ASAP, then the decree would be gotten rid of ASAP. Okay, alahachi v'hachi, again, in the meantime, asu hanach trei. Two more individuals came walking in the marketplace, and what do you know? And Eliyahu Navi says to Rabbi Baroka, these guys, they're also B'nai Olam Haba. They're also going to go to Olam Haba. Azala Gabayhu, so he went up to them. Amrulu, he said to them, Mayuv Daichu, he says, what do you guys do for a living? Amrulu, they said to him, In Shebeduche Anan, who are we? We are jokesters, we are comedians. And we make people who are sad, we make them happy. Or alternatively, when we see two people who are fighting, we try our best, we work very hard to make sure that they will make peace with one another. Okay, and so evidently these two individuals also are B'nai Olam Haba. We see from this Gemara, by the way, we still have a lot more to cover today, but we see from this Gemara, by the way, is that just because something doesn't look like it's as holy as someone else doesn't mean that it's not holier than everyone else, right? You have these two people, this jail guard, and you had these two comedians who you think, I don't know, I'm sure they're maybe nice people, but who knows if are they really worthy of anything great? But you see, these are the greatest people in the marketplace. Who knows who else was in that marketplace? The point is, these were the great ones that Eliyahu HaNavi himself pointed out that said that they were worthy of Olam Haba. Okay. Weiter. We're up to the two dots now, up to the statement of the Mishnah, Ilu Matriyan B'chumakom. These following things that the Mishnah listed are things that we cry out about regardless of where they occur in the world. Tanu Rabbanan, Rabbi Sotan, Rabbi Sa'al, Elu Matriyan B'chol Makom. These are the things we cry out for. So Al HaShidafon, so you remember Shidafon as we had in the Mishnah, those are like wind blasts, like really strong wind, so strong that I could like knock the kernels off the husks. Of Al HaYirkon, when you have like the Yirkon, like the yellowing of like the crops, which means there's such a bad drought that they become yellow. Al Arba V'chasil, and we also cry out if there are locusts or chasil locusts, two different types of locusts. Val Chaya Ra, and if there's like a dangerous beast that comes. Rabbi Kiva Omer, Rabbi Kiva adds, Al HaShidafon, V'Hal HaYarkon, V'Chol Shehu. Right, not just any wind blast, and not just, or rather, don't think that you need like a specific type of wind blast or a specific amount, and don't think you need like a specific amount of yellowing. No. If you have any sort of wind blast whatsoever, and any sort of yellowing of crops whatsoever, any of this we start crying out for. Arba v'chasil afilu nolonir be'eretz Yisrael ela kanaf echad. Even if you only see one of these little locusts flying around in Eretz Yisrael, even for one of them, Masri and Elan, we begin to cry out because of them. Okay. Now the Mishnah said further, v'al chaya ra'a, for these dangerous beasts that come. Tanu Rabbanan chaya ra'a sha'amru bizman shehi meshulachas masri and alehen eino shulachas ein masri and aleha. So, okay, this is going to be very technical, so it's going to be very back and forthy, so let's stay with me. So again, the rabbis told in the Brisa, if you have this dangerous beast that comes, what is this dangerous beast? How do you define it? What are the parameters of defining what a dangerous beast is? Well, bizman shehu meshulachas, when it is considered like a mishulachas, like it's a divine visit. That's an important word. Mishulachas means that like God sent this animal there. Masri and aleh, then we cry out because of it. But ina mishulachas, but if it's not from a divine visit, meaning part of its regular instincts it decided to do such and such a thing, but it's not from a clear sign from God, then in masri and aleh, then we don't cry out because of it. Ezohi mishulachas ve'ezohi she'enam mishulachas. How do you define something that is a divine visit and something that is not a divine visit? Nireis be'ir mishulachas. So one example is, if it appears in the city, right, then it's considered divine visit, because animals, wild animals don't come to the city quite often. B'sadeh, but if it's in the field, enam mishulachas, then it's not considered a divine visit. Bayom mishulachas, b'layla enam mishulachas. If you see it during the day, then it's considered a divine visit, but if you see it during the night, then it's not considered a divine visit. Rasa shnei b'nei adam, v'ratzasa acharein mishulachas. If it sees two men together, two people together, and it runs after them, oh, that must mean it's a divine visit, because no animal in its right mind who sees two human beings would ever run towards them. Nachbas min behem, but if it hides from them, ina mishalachas, then it is not a divine visit, because that's how a normal animal would act. It should be afraid of people. Tarfa shnei bnei adam v'achla achad mehen mishalachas. If it killed two people but only eat one of them, that's weird. If it killed two people, then it should eat both of them. That's what an animal would do. The fact that it eats one of them, that's very odd, and that must mean that it's a divine visit. Achla shnei'an eino mishalachas. But if it ate both of them, then it's not a divine visit. Also legag, now this is the last category. Also legag, but not latinok marisa mishulachas. If it went up onto the roof and it took the baby out of its cradle and, I guess, killed the baby, ate the baby, whatever. So mishulachas, that's going to be considered a divine visit. Okay, so those are all the categories. Now the Gemara is going to go through all of them and say that they seem to contradict each other a little bit. Says the Gemara, ha gufa kasha, what you just said is a question in and of itself. Amarta near. Near ata ba'ir mishalachas lo shna ba'yom lo shna ba'layla v'hadar amart ba'yom mishalachas ba'layla ina mishalachas. So in other words, what happened? You said a second ago that if it appears in this city that it is a divine visit, but you didn't differentiate if that was the day or the night, which means that even if it came during the day into the city, you would have to assume that it's a divine visit. V'hadar amart ba'yom mishalachas ba'layla ina mishalachas. But then you said a second later that the daytime makes it a divine visit, and if you see it at night, that it's not a divine visit. So which one is it? Is it both? Is it one or the other? Lo kasha, says the Gemara, don't worry, here's the explanation. Hachi kamar, this is what it means to say. Nirata ba'ir ba'yom mishulachas, ba'ir ba'layla ina mishulachas. If you see it in the city during the day, then that's a divine visit. But if you see it in the city even at night, then that's not a divine visit. Inami, or alternatively, b'sadeh afilu bayom ina mishulachas, that in the field, even if you see it during the day, that's not going to be considered a divine visit. Okay. Now, skip the parentheses. Ra'asa shnei b'nei adam v'ratzasa acharein mishulachas. Ha'omedes eina mishulachas. So, what's the next contradiction? So, one time you said that if it sees two people and it runs after them, that's going to be considered a divine visit. Ha'omedes, which means that if it just stands there, eina mishulachas, that's not a divine visit. But v'hadar amarte, but then you said, nechbasa mipnehan eina mishulachas, that if it hides from them, then it's not a divine visit. Ha'omedes mishulachas, which means that if it
if it just stands there, then that is a divine visit, right? So in other words, the question is, how do you define an animal that just stands there? And the first time you said that he has to run after them, which means that if it doesn't run after them, then that's not going to be a divine visit. But then you said that there's a case of the animal hiding, which implies that if the animal doesn't hide and it just stands there, then it is a divine visit. So which one is it? Lokash. This is the Gemara. No, it's not a question. Kan besada smuch la'adam. Here, in the case of here, where it says that the animal runs after them, and that's a divine visit. So that is talking about a case where where they are in a field that's next to the agam, in a field that's next to the marsh. In other words, so the animal running after them, that's abnormal. But if the animal just stands there, why would he just stand there? Why don't we say he should go and hide? Because the answer is because he's comfortable there, because it's a field right next to his marsh. He knows that he could always run back home if he needs to, so it's not crazy for him to stand there. But kan b'sadeh she'ina smucha l'agam. And here where they say that it's weird for the animal to stand there, and really that the animal should go and hide, that's when you're in a field that's not next to the marsh, because then he's really a sitting duck, so he really should be going and hiding. And so therefore, even in that case, if he's just standing there, then that itself is a divine visit. Okay, furthermore, tarfa shnei b'nei adam ke'achad ve'achla echad mehen mishulachas shneihem ein mishulachas. You have this other case of the wild animal that killed two people and ate one of them, and that's a divine visit, which means that he ate two of them, then that's not a divine visit. But v'ha amarta filo ratzta. You said just a second ago, even if the animal pursues them, then that's going to be considered a divine visit. So what do you mean, eating? Forget about the eating. Even if the animal chases after them, it's going to be a divine visit. So amar of papa, ki tani hahi ba'agma. No, the case that we're talking about over here, that he ate them, and that it's not considered a divine visit if he ate two of them, is in a case in the marsh. Right? In the marsh, again, he feels a little bit more comfortable there, so he'll attack people and he's not as afraid. But therefore, the qualifying factor is, how many people did he eat? Did he eat one of them or both of them? That's what you'd use in a more comfortable area. When the case of pursuing, that's not in the marsh itself. That's somewhere else. That's in the field. Okay, so that's the end of that. Okay, we'll do a little bit more. Let's see what time we're at right now. Okay, we'll do just a little bit more. We'll try to get to at least the next amud. Okay, gufa alta the gag manat latino kamarisa mishalach. All right, I apologize. One more. So we just said a second ago, if the animal goes up to the roof and takes the baby from the cradle, then that's considered a divine visit. Pshito, well, duck, what kind of animal goes up to the house of a roof and they jump in the... That's really weird. If that happens, someone's trying to tell you something. So obviously that's true. Amar Papa, no. Kuche ditzaydi. We're talking specifically about these very special types of houses. They're called like hunters' dugouts. The hunters used to go into like the forest or the jungle or whatever. They used to build these little makeshift homes. And in those homes, it would be not so crazy to have an animal come stop by, because that's part of the regular habitat over there. And that would happen enough that these dugouts would appear. Still, even in those, the point of the Gemara is that if you do have a baby there, then that's still weird for an animal to go and take the baby. And even in those places, if the animal goes and takes the baby from this hunter's dugout, then even then it will be considered a divine visit. Okay, a little bit more. Ala cherev. So then the Mishnah said that if people come with swords to your town or to a town even somewhere else, that you have to cry out because of them, because you have to assume that these are troops that are coming to invade. Says the Gemara. We'll start a very interesting discussion that's very relevant for us beginning the 3 weeks. This sword that we're talking about over here, we don't need to be talking about a sword that is not of peace. Meaning, anyone knows if you have an army that's going to battle with some place over there, everyone knows that you should be afraid of that army. Hello, what are we talking about? What kind of sword should we be afraid of? Afilu cherev shalom. If you even hear about a army that's coming in peace, that you should also be afraid of. Why? Because there was not more of an example of a sword of peace more than the case of Paro Nacho. Who in the world is Paro Nacho? Paro Nacho came to march, I think, against the Assyrians, and he went over to Yoshiyahu, and he said, Yoshiyahu, let me pass by. That's what it means to have a sword of peace. It means you don't want to attack the people you're going to now. It means you want to attack the people behind them. So Paro Necho comes to Yoshiyahu and he says, please, let me come through your town and let me kill the other people, but not you. So that's a sword of peace. But even then, Vafal Pekin, Nechshal Bahamel Yoshiyahu, still, nonetheless, Yoshiyahu ended up falling on its account. Shenemar, as the Pasuk says, we're now on Chaf Be'ez and Be'ez. Ve'yishlach elav malachim limor, ma'li v'lecha v'lecha melech Yehuda, lo alecha ata hayom ki el beis melchamti ve'elohim amar, levahalini chadal lecha me'elohim asher imi ve'al yashchisecha. So what is the Pasuk saying? He, meaning Paro, sent to him, to Yoshiyahu, saying, what have I to do with you, king of Yehuda? It is not against you that I march this day, but to the theater of my war, and God has ordered that I hasten. Do not interfere with God who is with me, so that he will not destroy you. Okay? So first of all, the Gemara says it parenthetically. So in other words, let's stop for a second. So that what that Pasuk is trying to say is that Paro is basically coming in peace, but evidently this is still going to lead to his downfall. So it says the Gemara parenthetically, my Elohim asher imi, what does it mean when it says that God is with him? Which God? Like God or like some other God? Amar Rav Yehuda, Rav Yehuda says, Amar Rav, Zu Avodah Zarah. It's talking about some sort of Avodah Zarah, meaning which God? He's God, I don't know, some pagan God. Amar, so Yoshiyahu said, Ho Yil V'Kab Batach V'Avodah Zarah, since this guy over here is trusting in Avodah Zarah, Yachil Na Lei, he says, I can overcome this guy. I got the real God on my side. I can take him. Vayoru hayoram lamelech Yoshiyahu vayomar hamelech lavadav haavironi ki hachlisi meod. So what happens? So the archers shot at the king Yoshiyahu, and the king said to his servants, "Move me from here, for I have become gravely ill." My ki hachlisi meod. What does it mean? I have become gravely ill. Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav melame chasu kol gufu kekavra. We see from here that they made his body like a sieve, like they shot him with so many arrows that he became like a sifter, that because he got so many holes in his body, and that ended up leading to his death. So we see this situation that happened to him, that even though Paro came in peace and Yoshiyahu seemingly even came back with a good response, he said, well, I have God on my side, I don't have to worry about your pathetic God, your pagan God. And so he seemingly had everything going for him, but still nonetheless he ended up going to war and he ended up losing to this sword of peace. And so I think we'll stop right here. Next time what we'll do is we'll go through the next few lines of the Gemara that talk about why I think Yoshiyahu was worthy of being punished. But again, for now, we'll stop right here. Everyone should have a great night and an easy fast tomorrow.